John. Comes right after 2 Chronicles. You got Kings, Chronicles, Ezra. And so if you find one of those, just go a little bit further. Ezra chapter 1. And we're going to look at the last few verses, the last five verses actually in chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Read this as we begin tonight. Ezra chapter 1, you can remain seated, verses 7 through 11. The Bible says, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithredath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, and that's probably another name for a man that we're going to meet later on, so don't worry about that name too much. Anyway, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold and 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. And these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and we do again thank you for each one here, and pray you'd comfort and be with and bring back those that are away from us. And we pray that you'd give us wisdom now as we read about these vessels, over 5,000 of them that were necessary to the service of the house of the Lord. And pray you'd help us to see a good application from this in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The word vessel, if you're to look it up, it just means it's a container. We think of a bowl, or they use the word charger here, and I did a little digging around about that. Today we think of a charger as a big plate, but in days gone by, a charger was just a really big bowl. But in each case, with the exception maybe of the knives and some things like that, they were something that would contain something else. And they're not all listed. We know that because if you add up the numbers that you see here in verse 9 and 10, you come up with, oh, I don't know, a little over a couple of thousand. But there were actually over 5,400 of them, according to verse 11. And what's interesting is it's amazing to me that they're still around 70 years later. In the captivity, Nebuchadnezzar had taken them from the house of the Lord, and as the passage tells us, he took them back to the house of his gods in this land far away. And now, 70 years later, they're still available, and the king, Cyrus, takes those vessels, over 5,000 of them, and gives them to these folks that are going to return from the captivity. And just interesting to me that they're still available. And, you know, that's because God made them available. They were necessary to the service of God's house. Gold and silver and very valuable. They would have been easily stolen and it could have been sold for money. But they had been protected by the Lord using this king for 70 years. Now, you think about the things that we need to serve God. But I'm more interested in the things that the Lord requires in order for his service to be accomplished. And if you dig a little bit in the Bible, you'll find out that quite often you and I and other servants of God are referred to as vessels. And so I can see a really interesting application here tonight, and I think I can show you some exciting things about that. Let's just talk about what's happening here. Of course, the king is responding just as the people had by providing for the rebuilding of God's house. And he tells them, Sheshbazzar, by the way, is probably Zerubbabel. We're going to talk about him in chapter 2, so I'll leave that alone for now. But he tells them to bring back these 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, knives and basins and silver basins and other vessels, and then even a bunch of them that aren't named. In the Bible, you and I are referred to as vessels, and I'll just read you a couple of the verses. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we have this treasure, and that treasure we have is the gospel, and it's also the Holy Spirit. And it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Last night, the ladies planted plants in high-tech plastic pots. And my wife shopped a lot to find a good pot that would be useful for that. It's got to have the right drainage, and it's got to have something underneath it to catch a little water so it won't make a mess when you water the plant. And I know that from time to time I have owned terracotta, which is basically clay pots. Clay pots are really good for planting a plant, but there's a problem with them. They're very easily broken. And in fact, in Maryland, I had some on my back porch, and in the wintertime, they would get wet, and then they would freeze, and the water would expand, and then in the summertime, when everything thawed out, flakes of the outsides would fall off of these things because the frozen water had broken them. And the Bible refers to us in that same idea that we are like a clay pot. We're fragile. Where you wouldn't think of putting something very valuable inside a clay pot because it's just not very durable. It's easily damaged and easily broken. And the Bible says the reason God gave us the gospel is so he'd get the glory. So it refers to us as an earthen vessel. I just point you to a few other verses here. In 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, in a great house there are vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from, and he previously talked about some things to get out of your life, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Romans 9:21 says that God has the power to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor. In Acts 9:15, the Lord said that Paul was going to be a vessel chosen unto him to bear his name before the Gentiles. You and I are vessels. We are you, every one of us. That we would agree that just like, if you look at the vessels in this passage, there's three or four things about them. One of them, they are called vessels of the house of the Lord. They are used for the service in God's house. I will not limit that. It's not just where we serve God in church, but the church is a place where God's chosen for us to serve him. And as a part of a church, we do service for the Lord. And so we are, in a sense, we are vessels for the house of the Lord. But more specifically, the Lord lives in us. And so that's what we contain. And we also know the gospel, of course. In verse 9, it says there are many kinds of vessels. It mentions here that they're necessary for the service of the temple. Back in 1 Kings 15, it talks about how they had been dedicated to that service. They were dedicated to the service of the Lord. They weren't used for other things. And that's an interesting application we'll see here in just a minute. The reason they had these vessels is because back in Exodus and Leviticus, God had said, here is how I want things done in the temple. Or the tabernacle at that time, which later on was replaced by the temple. And there were some vessels were necessary. Some of them would contain ashes. Some of them would contain blood. Some of them would contain water. And they each had unique functions. There were different sizes. There were different shapes. There were different materials used to make them. A lot of them were made of gold and silver. And they were valuable, not just because of what they were made of, but for how they were used. They were dedicated to the Lord, and then they were sprinkled with blood in Leviticus 8:11 in order to be holy. And we are too, by the way. There are many different uses. Some had a lot of importance. Some didn't have any. All were needed. Now, you think about us as vessels, and it's a straightforward application, but a very true one. And I'll just pick three or four of these and show them to you, and it won't take long. But the first thing I'm going to tell you is this. We know God made us, and he made each of us different. There is not any two people in the room tonight, not any two people in this church, not any two people that are saved that are identical. Even identical twins have differences in between them. But you look around, it's not hard to say. There's a lot of difference between us, a lot of things about us. But God made every one of us the way we are. Some have more gifts, different gifts. Some might have more ability, less ability. Some might be stronger. Some might be weaker. And you can spend all day long discouraging yourself by saying, well, I wish I was more of this, or I wish I had more of that, or I wish whatever. But folks, God made us the way we are. And we are vessels that God has made. made and he has prepared and he has a job, and each of us are made appropriate for the job God's given us. And so, you know, you say, well, I wish I was a really important vessel. You know, that might be okay, but the truth of the matter is there are some vessels that are not so important, but if they're not there, there's a problem. Amen? Maybe you don't get to be the vessel that contains something that you'd like, the blood or whatever, but maybe God made you for a different purpose. If you had any one of these 5,000 vessels today, if I could reach back here and pick one up and show it to you, even if it was the most insignificant vessel of all 5,400 of them, if I had one of them today, it would be priceless. Wow, that's one of those vessels that was in the temple. Archaeologists would be knocking on my door. Hey, can we put this in our museum? Hey, can we study this? Hey, look at this. This is amazing. And folks, you and I, as far as God's concerned, we are quite valuable. Valuable enough he died for us, amen? That's pretty valuable. And so I don't know what vessel you are. I don't know which configuration God's chosen for you. But trust me, he knows what he's doing. And he has a purpose for us. You say, I can't do much of anything. Well, you probably can do more than you think. But anyway, you can do what God wants you to do. Amen? And you might look at some people and you might think, oh, I wish I was really great and big like them and important like them. The truth of the matter is, you're important because if you weren't important, God wouldn't have made you that way. He'd have made you some other way. Don't discourage yourself by wishing you had some gift or some ability someone else has. God made us the way we are so he could use us for a specific type of service. He put us in the right place and the right time. So I hear people sometimes, they say, oh, I wish I'd have lived 100 years ago. I don't know. I, in the first place, you're telling God you don't like the way he did things. And in the second place, you know, God fixed us just right so that we could be in this time. And other generations have faced different things. Other generations have had different opportunities. But the time you live in is the time God chose for you. And the place that we are located is also the place God chose for us, I hope. If it's not and you know it, then you need to get to the right place. But I suspect we're probably in the right place where God wants us. I know I am. Now, Revelation 1:5, I'll just read this to you. It says that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, that's Jesus, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then he goes on to talk about the Lord. I want you to know something. Just like the vessels in the Old Testament in Leviticus 8:11 were sprinkled with blood to make them, the word is sanctified or holy, fit for use, God's done that with us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So there's a nice comparison to the vessels. He says in this passage, he talks about them being set apart or sanctified is a word the Bible uses quite often for his service. And folks, the fact of the matter is, as vessels, who do we belong to, ourselves or to God? Amen? Do we belong to him a little bit or all the way? Amen. So what that means is he ought to be able to use us as he sees fit. And that shouldn't be something that we shy away from or that we don't approve of or that we complain about. We belong to him. He can do with us as he pleases. I've got a lot of friends in the ministry, and I could talk all night about stories of people I know in the ministry, that missionaries and pastors and full-time Christian workers, and I still keep in touch with a few people from days gone by, and lots of different trials, lots of different blessings, lots of different accomplishments, lots of different situations. So unique. And every single one of them is just exactly what God wants them to be. Doing, hopefully, just exactly what God wants them to do. And they're set apart for that. And even if you're not in full-time Christian service, you're still a full-time child of God. And you still got a full-time role for God. And some of the greatest opportunities I've ever had to minister came while I had a job. And talking to people on the work site or being a good testimony, those kinds of things. So wherever God has you, you belong to him and you're sanctified. You're set apart. Dedicated is the right word to his use. 1 Corinthians 12:2, and this is a little bit redundant, but it's important to see. The Bible says, as the body is one and hath many members, and the members are, he's talking about our hands and feet and ears and eyes and those kind of things. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is the body of Christ, or the church. In other words, each of us has a different function. And they're all important. And you may say, well, that doesn't seem as important as that one. Well, take it up with God. He knows. Everything that we do, we are unique in that role, but it's an important role. We're not all the same. Each of us is made differently so that we can perform our assigned task or duty. Don't grieve that you're not like other vessels that you see. You look at somebody, or you read about somebody, or you think about some missionary in days gone by, and you think, wow, I wish I could do something great like he did. You know, if you do what God called you to do, it's great. Amen? We should have sang that song tonight, Little as Much When God Is In It. And there are people in the Bible, and you'll see them one time, and they'll do one little thing, it looks like. But folks, that's what God had for them. And whatever it is that God has for us, we may not have a church of 10,000, we may not win 1,000 souls to Christ, but whatever God's got for you, when you do that, that counts. And that's important to God. So don't despair that you're not like other vessels. Don't despair that you're not the most important vessel. Don't despair if you feel like the job you've got is too trivial. Do despair. It should upset us if we're not fit somehow because of our own decision. If we're not available, for example, or if there's something in our life that keeps us from being useful. There are things that we can do that make us as a vessel less useful to God. And we got to pay attention and look out for that and stay away from it. These young men here tonight, for example, they got to be careful who they allow to be their friends. This fellow I talked to yesterday, he more or less said that the reason his life had gone the way it had was because of the people that he knew when he was younger. And that your friends can take you in a good direction or a bad one. If you think they're your friend and they're taking you in a bad direction, you need to find some other friends. Amen? And I certainly would talk to the young people about that. Don't boast if you think you're an important vessel. Because the truth is, your ability to be important came from God. Someone says, I'm just a silver vessel. I want to be a gold one. God made you a silver vessel. Someone says, well, you know, I'm not very big. I wish I was a bigger vessel. Well, some of us are too big. Amen. But seriously, God made us vessel-wise. He gave us the capacity that we have. The Bible says that some people have more faith than others. And God gave some a different measure of faith. You don't look down on somebody. You say, well, no, they're not nearly as good a vessel as I am. They're just the vessel God made. You say, well, I'd like to be a more important vessel. You're just the vessel God made. And it was interesting to me that 5,400 were numbered, but only half that many were described. There are a lot of vessels that you may never hear about. They may never be described in detail, but they're all important. And I've often said, I think that the people that when they step into eternity that are going to be the most rewarded aren't going to be the ones that wrote the most books or that had the biggest church or that whatever. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And so people that have a lot of ability are going to be expected to do more. But the most rewarded person is the one that just faithfully did what God called him to do day by day, month by month, year by year, all through their life. That lady that we've been praying for, her name is Fanny Dixon, and she lives in, I'm not sure the name of the city exactly. It's near Williamsburg, Virginia, but I guess that is Williamsburg, isn't it? And I met her a number of times in Maryland when she'd come up to church, or we'd go down to see them. And they invited us to come spend some time with them in their home, and we never ever got around to doing it. We just didn't get time to get away very often. But that lady is just the sweetest lady. She didn't really have any special. She wasn't a great singer, and she wasn't a great teacher. She wasn't, a pastor's wife or anything like that. But she's kind of like Brother Leo. You know, she was just faithful, And she was where she was supposed to be when she was supposed to be there. And she had a good spirit about her. And folks, that's a great vessel. You say, she never wrote a book. Nah, that's okay. She never started a church. She never whatever. You just do what God called you to do. Faithfully, day by day. And that's the kind of vessel God's looking for. In our house, we've got some cabinets and we've got some bowls. And last night I was scrounging around trying to find a place to put something. And I found some bowls. And I knew I had them, but I hadn't seen them in a long time. They're hiding in the back of this one cabinet. And I thought, wow, I like those bowls. I'm gonna use those. I remember we've had some good meals and served them in those bowls and so on. We got to be right there where God can use us. Clean, amen? Ready to be used however God chooses. And you may not think the way God uses you as is important as the way he uses somebody else. But again, God made the decision. And he can do more with us than we think he could. Sure glad those vessels were kept all this time by the Lord so that when the time came, they were there to be used. 5,400 of them. And I don't think a lot of them were little tiny things. I think they were pretty big. How do you move that many vessels? But they were important enough that they took all 5,400 back to Jerusalem, and they were available for God's use in the house of the Lord. And folks, that's what we ought to be, is vessels fit for the master's use, is the way the Bible says it. And you got to be saved. Amen. And then you need to be prepared. I'm thinking of Timothy. The Bible says, Paul told him, he told Timothy, who was quite a worker, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I can tell you right now, God can use you as a vessel ever so much more if you'll obey that command and know the word of God. Amen? And be careful who you let teach you. I'll make that comment. Because the devil would like to do something to get you out of God's service or mix you up or get you confused. Last night I was talking to this fellow, and he kept using terms that were, he didn't know it, but they're New Age terms. And if you know what the New Age movement is, that's great. And if not, they're just, it's all fiction anyway. And he would say something to me about how he was going to ascend to a higher plane. And I said, I don't know anything about that. I just know what the Bible says. And I said, yeah, we're going to step into eternity one day, but I never heard anything about a higher plane. And if it's in the Bible, it's true. If it's not, throw it away and learn what's in the Bible. Be careful who you let teach. Let the Bible teach you. And don't be afraid to admit, oh, I was wrong about that. And now I see what the Bible says, and I'm going to do things different. So let's be vessels fit for the master's use. Let's be available. Let's be clean. And God's got a role for us. Every single one of us in church, he's got a place for you, a job for you to do. And as we talked about last Sunday night, as other vessels leave the scene, it may be time for us to step in and take their place. Let's be ready for that as well. Let's all stand if you